Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back. And I have in my hands here a great book. Our next guest is Joe Jackson. He's an evangelist, a former NFL player with the New York Jets and the Minnesota Vikings. And he's authored a fantastic book called Championship Sunday, An Uncommon Pursuit of a Dream. And there's the picture of the cover of the book on the screen. Check it out at the bookstores. His personal website is joejacksonministries.org. joejacksonministries.org. Joe, good to see you, friend. How are you?
Perry, God bless you, brother. I'm doing great.
Did I tell you that the 49ers won over the weekend?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they play with that other team.
Well, the team from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Good to see you, friend. Thanks for your time.
You're not a Green Bay Packer fan, are you?
Some of my staff is, and I lean towards the 49ers, but it's all just in the fun of it, I guess.
Okay. Oh, great. So, awesome.
Well, good to see you, Joe. Thanks for your time. Wow, what a story. Tell us about your ministry first. How'd you go from NFL to ministry?
Actually, I started singing gospel music with the Bill Gaither Trio, if you can believe it. And from that, the music ministry, it led me to Phoenix First Assembly of God, where I began to do more speaking and more evangelism. I started out as a gospel singer. I ended up as an evangelist. I never thought I'd ever be someone who would be an evangelist, because I had such a fear of public speaking. I mean, man, it wasn't just a little fear. It was tremendous. It had me gripped. I couldn't even get up in front of a group and say, "Hey, what do you know? My name is Big Joe," without stammering and stuttering. And it was just something that I never ever dreamed in a thousand lifetimes that I would be doing something in a sense to earn a living, if you will. And it's all God. It's all the Lord. I thank Him for the doors that He's opened and the preparation in my life and the calling and the faith to walk through it.
So this must go back quite a bit in your younger days, dealing with fear and maybe even some injustice issues in your youth. Tell us about your faith walk. When did you and God come together?
Well, you know, Perry, I was walking home from football practice as a freshman on the campus of New Mexico State University. And this was at the height of the Jesus movement, incredible dispensation of the Holy Spirit of Christ on young people of all ages. It was just incredible. So I'm just walking home from football practice, minding my own business, trying to get to the cafeteria because I'm hungry. And a kid approached me. He said, "Hey, big man, have you got 5 minutes?" I said, "What's the deal, brother?" He said, "Well, here's the deal." He told me that God loved me. God had a great plan for my life. Then he said, "Oh, man, my goodness, that sounds like religion. I don't want any part of it. I tried it before. It didn't work. I don't want it now." But he says, "No, I'm not talking about religion per se. I'm talking about a relationship. I can understand relationship. Relationship with family members. Relationship with teammates and friends. I can understand that concept." And he's telling me I could have a relationship with God. So anyway, he just opened the four spiritual laws. And, at the end of the track, which circle best represents your life right now, the one with ego on the throne or the one with God on the throne? Well, of course, at that particular time, the one with ego. And then he said, "Well, what circle would you like to represent your life?" I said, "Oh, well, I guess the one with God on the throne." So he prayed with me right there on the road in Las Cruces, New Mexico. I gave my heart to Christ 50 years ago. And that's how it started.
Wow. How did that carry over for you in an NFL career?
Well, it was a blessing. You know, it was really a blessing to know the Lord, going from Las Cruces, New Mexico, to New York City, NFL lifestyle, lifestyle. You can get tripped up, you can end up compromising, you can end up walking away from your faith, but I had a great foundation. Other friends I had met in Cruces, the Christian brothers and sisters I had met in Las Cruces, New Mexico, really found out to be a great factor in my life in terms of my commitment to the Lord, in an area where I could have easily wound up from the sidelines as a casualty because that lifestyle there, the life of an NFL football player, all of a sudden you get all this freedom, you get all this money, notoriety, you're sort of famous. It can kind of mislead you. So I just thank God for the roots that were planted in my life early when I first accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the ministry of Campus Crusade, FCA, and the Navigators.
Oh, all good groups. Early on in your book, Joe, you talk about your struggle with self-esteem. Tell us about that.
Well, Perry, I was always the biggest kid in class. I could never get into a slim or regular-sized pants. I was always husky. I didn't seem to fit the model of what a cool person was. I was always seemed to be different. I was 176 pounds in the sixth grade. I struggled with the way I looked. I had a chipped tooth right here in the front. So it's, I guess my image and what I perceived people to interpret, I guess, my value. And I struggled with self-esteem. I didn't think I could, I didn't think I was worth it. I didn't think that I was worthy. And those are really pitfalls for me. Even though my parents gave me a lot of affirmation, hey, Joey, we think you're special. We think God's got a great plan for your life. We love you so much. But yet it didn't really seem to do anything to, for me in terms of my affirmation. Just deeply struggled with that.
Early on, with dealing with self-esteem, but then your book, you have a tremendous theme in there about finishing strong and not quitting. And yet, low self-esteem can certainly lead you to quitting. How'd you overcome that, Coach?
Coach, well, I learned a lot of lessons from football. There's a lot of parallels in life about from football to life. Finishing strong, you get knocked down, you get up. It's not over. Failure is not failure, nor is it final, unless you don't learn something from it. In a sense, football helped me because it gave me a sense that I was somebody, that I did something special. A lot of people would want to be in my position as a pro athlete, and very few make it. I think one out of 140,000 kids who try to play football or who have that dream actually end up experiencing it. So it gave me a sense, okay, I've accomplished something. God has given me some gifts. God's given me some talents, per se. So it was good to know that I did something that not a whole lot of people do.
Do you remember your first sermon?
Oh, gosh, it was horrific. It was hideous. It was horrible. I like to not forget it. It was terrible. It was in 1978. I was asked to speak at a Spanish Methodist church in Las Cruces, and I was so nervous. I spoke to a translator, and I just got the 3x5 cards mixed up, and it was just humiliating. I can't face these people. I'll never be in a pulpit again. God, please don't ever put this on me again. And it was just terrible. I just wanted to quit. And again, lesson from football. There's just something in my spirit that just said, Joe, don't quit. Don't quit. I couldn't see the day that I'd be the church evangelist of the largest Assembly of God church in America. I preached the gospel in every state all over the world. I could not see that. All I could see was my failure, my past, and my history. I couldn't see the destiny. And God just began to gradually open up and, sort of peel back the onion. And that's the road I'm on now.
One other quick question, Joe, before I take a break. At what point did you realize your passion overrode your fear?
Well, I guess fear is the biggest dream killer known to man. And it's also, it can be a phenomenal motivator. And my passion for the Lord came from the fact that God loves me. And God has done so many things in my life. I mean, by the grace of God, I could be in three places: on the streets in Cincinnati looking for a drug, in prison, or dead at the old Negro cemetery. So it's the passion for His Word, the passion for the calling in my life, and really just the passion for Him that He's called me to this work. He's given me a dream. He's given me a vision. He's given me a destiny. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy who wants to discourage you, who wants to bankrupt your faith.
All right. The book is called Championship Sunday, An Uncommon Pursuit of a Dream, by Joe Jackson. And by the way, the foreword is by Joe Namath. I have to tell you my Joe Namath story someday. But let me take a quick break. We'll be right back.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show, by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. What an honor to have with us today Joe Jackson, former NFL player with the New York Jets, Minnesota Vikings. Now he's an evangelist, and he's authored a fantastic book called Championship Sunday, An Uncommon Pursuit of a Dream. And the foreword is by Joe Namath. It's available. Check it out. His website is joejacksonministries.org. Check out that as well. Wow. Joe Namath, in his foreword here, kind of gives a little bit of an insight of his own faith journey.
Yeah, Joe Willie has had a journey. He's had ups and downs. He's had victories and defeats. And I got to know Joe in 1972 when I first joined the New York Jets. It was an incredible experience for me. Here I'm playing with Broadway Joe Namath. And we have maintained a good friendship, a great friendship, for the last, 50 years or so. Joe Namath has a camp, had a football camp for 47 years, and I worked his camp. And I'm involved, or I have a ministry called Athletes International Ministries, AIM, where we will honor some of the greatest athletes in America. God has given us favor. We've had Deion Sanders, Evander Holyfield. It's just been an incredible David Robinson. God has just really blessed his ministry. So anyway, I asked Joe if he would come to the minister, or to the conference in 2017. I wasn't sure if he was going to come or not. But he said, Joe, let me pray about it. I said, well, that's a good thing. Great. Pray about it. So he said, hey, you know what? I feel God has called me to be at this conference. And he left his hometown in Jupiter at about 2 a.m. in the morning and drove to Miami, caught a flight. He came to our conference. We awarded him a Lifetime Achievement Award. He gave a great testimony. And that night, he flew back to Florida. I preached in a church in Jupiter later that year. Joe came to the service, and he gave a phenomenal testimony what God has done in his life. So really, God has been remarkable in terms of the work that he has completed and has begun. That is, not so much completed, because he's still working on us all, in the heart of Joe Namath. And I'm so excited to call him not only a friend, not only a teammate, but a brother in the Lord.
It's wonderful. My quick story is Joe Namath. I was a young reporter for a radio and television station in Sacramento, California. The Jets were playing the Raiders. Joe was at the height of his career, very popular. And I got to interview him in the locker room under very interesting conditions. And what I remember most was he was so popular that they had to put him in an equipment bag and zip it up to get him out.
My God. That's good. That's good. So when was that? What year was that?
Oh, gosh, I have to go back and look. But
was that in the 70s?
It had to be the early 70s, I think, yeah.
You know what? I was probably at that game. Was that a Monday night game?
I can't remember, Joe. All I know is it was wild, and Joe was really at the height of his career, and everybody wanted that. I sat in the locker room for an hour waiting to get like a 4-minute response to him. And nicest guy, and I'll never forget it. And here comes all these guys with this big bag, and I'm thinking, what's the deal here? And the only way they could maintain security and get him out of the building, he zipped him up in an equipment bag and hauled him out.
That's amazing. You know, Perry, let me tell you another quick story about Joe Willie. Joe got traded to the Rams, and then I was traded to the Vikings, and we played the Rams in a divisional playoff game. And I wanted to see Joe after the game. Actually, incidentally, we beat the Rams in the mud. And but anyway, that's another story. So I wanted to see Joe Willie after the game. He didn't play at all. He got benched, and I said, wow, if I go in the locker room, man, there'll be so many reporters. I don't even know if I get a chance to talk to him. I went in the Rams locker room, and it was just bizarre. Joe was sitting on his bench all by himself. No reporters, no fanfare. They didn't have to put him in a bag to take him out of the locker room. And it was really a somber, as totally different from what I imagined and what I was accustomed to seeing with Joe Willie Namath. But the main point that I'm really trying to make here is that God is faithful. And there are people that were praying for Joe Namath. Oh, God, please save him. What a tremendous platform he can have. What a tremendous testimony he can have. And you know, the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous person has much power. I truly believe in my heart of hearts that that prayer was answered. And Joe has now, God has really done a work in his life.
Well, we could talk for hours. I'm going to get you back. But what's the essence of your book? What do you want people to walk away from?
Saying, wow, what a great looking guy.
Okay.
What's so funny, Perry?
Do you preach much on humility at all? Or?
Oh, my God. Look who's talking. You know, somebody, I was interviewed with another guy. I said, Joe, how old is that pitcher? How old is that pitcher? I said, what? He said, yeah, how old is that pitcher? I said, well, I took it in September. So that's, I don't know, a couple weeks old at that time. And no, I guess I, if I could remember your question, but.
What's the takeaway of your book?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, if they have a dream, if they have a vision, I truly believe that they are destined for God's greatness. But it won't happen because I believe it. It won't happen because I speak it and know it to be true. It happens when we begin to walk in what God has called us to do from the foundation of the world. Now, I can't tell you, or not you per se, Perry, but I cannot express to others what God has called them to do. They kind of have a pretty good handle on their gift and their skill sets. So regardless of facts, because facts are based on experience and knowledge, but truth is founded and derived in thus saith the Lord. And that's the voice that I want them to take from that book, that they're destined for God's greatness. And again, the theme is finished and strong. Just because you fail, that doesn't mean that you're a failure and you can't get up and you can't fulfill God's dream and God's purpose for your life, because he loves you and he wants you to walk in a newness of life. So I guess, in a nutshell, that's what I'd like people to get from that.
It's called Championship Sunday. Check it out, An Uncommon Pursuit of a Dream. Joe, about a minute here.
You're kidding me.
No, we'll get you back.
Oh, maybe?
We'll get you back, but let me ask you this.
I hope so.
The world is crazy, and people are looking for answers. Do you think we, as believers, are prepared to meet the challenge?
Well, I can just answer in my own personal life. I can just live out what God has done in my life. I can just begin to walk out and to believe what God has done in my life and lift up a light in a dark world. We need to be that light, especially under in this culture today. There's so many there are so many pitfalls and traps, and there's so many things that are superficial that just grip the lives and the experiences of people. The church has got to be that light. All Jesus did was lift up a light in a dark world, and people were drawn to that light.
All right, I got to go. Check out the book. It's got a great picture of Joe on it. It's called Championship Sunday, Uncommon Pursuit of a Dream. Check out his website, joejacksonministries.org. Can we get you back, Joe? You're a hoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
God bless you, friend. Keep up
That'd
the good
be great.
Work. All right. God bless.
All right, Barry.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast, and join us next Thursday and every Thursday to catch the latest episode. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.